The reading is taken this morning from Daniel 5. In fact, it's the whole of Daniel 5. So, the writing on the wall. King Belshazzar gave a great banquet for 1,000 of his nobles and drank wine with them. While Belshazzar was drinking his wine, he gave orders to bring in the gold and silver goblets that Nebuchadnezzar, his father, had taken from the temple in Jerusalem, so that the king and his nobles, his wives, and his concubines might drink with them. So they brought in the gold goblets that had been taken from the temple of God in Jerusalem, and the king and his nobles, his wives, and his concubines drank from them. As they drank the wine, they praised the gods of gold and silver, of bronze, iron, and wood, and stone. Suddenly, the fingers of a hand appeared and wrote on the plaster of the wall near the lampstand in the royal palace. The king watched the hand as it wrote. His face turned pale and he was so frightened his knees knocked together and his legs gave way. The king called out for the enchanters, astrologers, diviners to be brought and said to these wise men of Babylon, "Whoever reads this writing and tells me what it means will be clothed in purple and have a gold chain placed round his neck, and he'll be made the third highest ruler in the kingdom." Then all the king's wise men came in, but they couldn't read the writing or tell the king what it meant. So King Belshazzar became even more terrified, and his face grew pale. His nobles were baffled. The queen, hearing the voices of the king and his nobles, came into the banqueting hall. She said, "Don't be alarmed. Don't look so pale. There's a man in your kingdom who's the spirit of the holy gods in him. In the time of your father, he was found to have insight and intelligence and wisdom like that of the gods. King Nebuchadnezzar, your father, appointed him chief of the magicians, enchanters, astrologers, and diviners. This man, Daniel, was found to have a keen mind and knowledge and understanding and the ability to interpret dreams. He explained riddles and solved problems. Call for Daniel. He'll tell you what the writing means." So Daniel was brought before the king, and the king said to him, "Are you Daniel, one of the exiles my father, the king, brought from Judah? I've heard the spirit of the gods is in you, and that you have insight, intelligence, and outstanding wisdom. The wise men and enchanters were brought before me to read this writing and tell me what it means, but they couldn't explain it. Now I've heard that you're able to give an interpretation and to solve difficult problems. If you can read this writing and tell me what it means, you'll be clothed in purple and have a gold chain placed around your neck. You'll be made the third highest ruler in the kingdom." Then Daniel answered the king, "You may keep your gifts for yourself and give your rewards to someone else. Nevertheless, I will read the writing for the king and tell him what it means. O king, the most high God gave your father Nebuchadnezzar sovereignty and greatness and glory and splendor. Because of the high position he gave him, all the peoples and nations and men of every language dreaded and feared him. Those the kings wanted to put to death, he put to death. Those he wanted to spare, he spared. Those he wanted to promote, he promoted. And those he wanted to humble, he humbled. But when his heart became arrogant and hardened with pride, he was deposed from his royal throne and stripped of his glory. He was driven away from the people and given the mind of an animal. He lived with the wild donkeys and ate grass like cattle, and his body was drenched with the dew of heaven until he acknowledged that the Most High God is sovereign over the kingdom of men and sets over them anyone he wishes. But you, his son, O Belshazzar, have not humbled yourself, though you knew all this. Instead, you set yourself against the Lord of heaven. You had the goblets from his temple brought to you, and you and your nobles, your wives, your concubines, drank wine from them. You praised the gods of silver and gold and bronze and iron and wood and stone, which cannot see or hear or understand. But you did not honour the God who holds in his hand your life and all your ways. Therefore, he sent the hand that wrote the inscription. This is the inscription that was written: Mene, Mene, Tekel, Parson. And this is what the words mean: Mene, God has numbered the days of your reign and brought it to an end. Tekel, you have been weighed on the scales and found wanting. Peres, your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Then, at Belshazzar's command, Daniel was clothed in purple, a gold chain was placed round his neck, and he was proclaimed the third highest ruler in the kingdom. That very night, Belshazzar, king of the Babylonians, was slain, and Darius the Mede took over the kingdom at the age of 62. This is the word of the Lord.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. It's Luke chapter 23, verses 1 to 23, page 1059 in the Bibles. Luke 23, page 1059. Then the whole assembly rose and led him off to Pilate, and they began to accuse him, saying, "We have found this man subverting our nation. He opposes payment of taxes to Caesar and claims to be Christ, a king." So Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Yes, it is as you say," Jesus replied. Then Pilate announced to the chief priests and the crowd, "I find no basis for a charge against this man." But they insisted, "He stirs up people all over Judea by his teaching. He started in Galilee, has come all the way here." On hearing this, Pilate asked if the man was a Galilean. When he learned that Jesus was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was greatly pleased, because for a long time he had been wanting to see him. From what he had heard about him, he hoped to see him perform some miracle. He plied him with many questions, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and the teachers of the law were standing there, venomously accusing him. Then Herod and his soldiers ridiculed and mocked him. Dressing him in an elegant robe, they sent him back to Pilate. That day, Herod and Pilate became friends. Before this, they had been enemies. Pilate called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was inciting the people to rebellion. I have examined him in your presence and have found no basis for your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us. As you can see, he has done nothing to deserve death. Therefore, I will punish him and then release him." With one voice, they cried, "Away with this man, release Barabbas to us." Barabbas had been thrown into prison for an insurrection in the city and for murder. Wanting to release Jesus, Pilate appealed to them again, but they kept shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him." For the third time he spoke to them, "Why, what crime has this man committed? I have found in him no grounds for the death penalty. Therefore I will have him punished and then release him." But with loud shouts they insistently demanded that he be crucified, and their shouts prevailed. So Pilate decided to grant their demand. This is the gospel of the Lord.
It was nice that Thomas said he liked reading the Bible. Good for him. And there are very difficult bits of the Bible. But I want to take some easy bits today because it's easier for me. Thank you. The book of Daniel, starting at chapter 3. It would take all day if I read it all, so I won't. Daniel chapter 3 is about the fiery furnace and the big image made of gold by King Nebuchadnezzar. And the politicians said to the king, you should make an edict that says anybody who doesn't bow down to this big image should be thrown into the fire. But there are some Jews that you brought from Judah who refuse to bow down to the image, and they pray to their own God. So as it is written in the law, they should be thrown into the furnace. So they called the officials. These three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were bound and thrown into the fire. And the king was so angry, he had the furnace heated up 7 times more than usual. So they were thrown in, bound in their clothes, including their turbans, into the fire. The king came and he looked inside and he said, how many people did we throw in? And they said, how many? How many were thrown in? But I can see 4 people walking about in the fire unharmed. And he said, the fourth looks like a son of a god. I was saying this in the cathedral in Changugu in Rwanda, and I said, why were there 4 in the fire and not 3? And 1,800 people called out, because Jesus was with them. Why were there 4? Thank you very much. But isn't that lovely? And that is a message. You may be going through difficult times. In actual fact, we live with an aggressive cancer. You may be finding it quite difficult, but always remember that Jesus. That's chapter 3, and it's a lovely chapter. It goes on. Chapter 4 is about a dream, but chapter 5 you had read to you. And this is now a new king because Nebuchadnezzar died. This is King Belshazzar. And this was a very large kingdom, the Babylonian kingdom. Lots of nations were involved. And here Belshazzar has a feast for 1,000 people, his nobles, his wives, his concubines, and all those sort of people. 1,000 guests. And at this, the fingers of a hand wrote on the plaster of the wall. I don't know if they could all see that, but the king could see it. And it wrote just the fingers. Couldn't see a person, fingers of a man's hand. And they wrote these something on the wall. As you heard, he called all the magicians and the astrologers and people, and they couldn't interpret, they couldn't read it. So they called Daniel in, and Daniel, it doesn't say this in the text, by the way, but it says, I know that writing, it's my father's writing. Anyway, he could read it. So he read it, and he put it into Aramaic, which read, Mini, Mini, Tekel, Parsin. Mini, your kingdom is finished because you didn't take note of the law of the living God and you desecrated the vessels from the temple. Mini, your kingdom is finished. Tekel, you are being weighed in the balances or scales. God is weighing you and you have been found wanting. I want to say that we are being weighed by God in the balances. How we live is being seen by Almighty God, and we're being weighed. But the politicians are as well. The leaders of our nation, the leaders of our church, being weighed in the balances. That's how God works. and this king was weighed in the balances and found wanting. And you know, interesting about King Nebuchadnezzar, and also about Cyrus, who comes later, the Persian. God calls them my servant. Although they were pagan, God calls them my servant. God can use anybody. Anybody that fulfills his purposes, God can use. Which should be an encouragement to us, because even God can even use me or you. And he used Nebuchadnezzar in one case, Cyrus in another, and called them my servant. Well, Belshazzar was not one of those. He desecrated the vessels from the temple. He praised the gods of gold and silver, of wood and stone. And so his time is finished. Many, many, you are finished. That very night, Belshazzar was slain. And Darius the Mede took the throne. So you move on to chapter 6, which is another exciting chapter. Darius on the throne. And then you get the Daniel being a very faithful servant in Babylon. But people were jealous. And they tried to find something wrong in the way he administered his work. Could find nothing, a lovely, lovely testimony actually. They could find nothing wrong with Daniel's work. But they said, we'll find something about his God. So they went to his house and found he prayed to God and he knelt by the window. Actually, the normal way to pray for the Jews was standing. But here he was kneeling by the window facing Jerusalem, praying three times a day to his God. And so they told this to King Darius. The king was furious. So he said, the law says he must be thrown into the den of lions. And Darius was sorry about that because he knew that Daniel was doing a good job. Anyway, sure enough, they threw Daniel into the den of lions. Now, I like to make up a bit of a story here. But anyway, the Bible says he was thrown into the den of lions. In the morning, early morning, Darius came and he came to the entrance of the cave and he said, Daniel, has your God saved you from the lions? He said, yes, hallelujah. He didn't actually say that, but anyway, he said, yes. God sent an angel and he shut the mouths of the lions. That's what it says in the text. But again, was Daniel all right in the lion's den? Yes, he was, because... That's a lovely story, isn't it? It's lovely. Jesus was with him, sent an angel. And I like to make up a bit of the story, because I'm quite sure that he was stroking the lions. I mean, he was sent there by the Creator. Anyway, that's not in the text. But he was safe in the lion's den. If you need to read the story, actually, in chapter 6 of Daniel, because there's a nasty bit that follows, which I won't tell you too much, what happened to the people who threw Daniel into the lion's den. You have to read that. So what I want to say is, whatever the circumstances that we're going through, Jesus is with us. That's the encouraging thing, isn't it? And at the same time, you see politicians and important people making up stories. So go to Luke 23 and read there about what they did to the Lord Jesus. They lied about him. They twisted the facts because they hated Jesus. Who got the victory? Jesus. When did he get the victory? Easter Day. He rose again. Yes? Jesus got the victory. And God is working out his purposes as year succeeds to year. He is working his purposes. And be encouraged, because whatever's happening now in Brexit or anything else, God is working out his purposes, and he will win in the end. We will go to be with Christ if we belong to him. Matthew 28, he will never leave us. I'm with you always to the end of time, it says, Matthew 28. So that's the encouraging thing. Jesus is always with us, whatever circumstances. And he will win the victory. The world will end. We don't know when. His people will be taken to live with him in heaven. Everyone else won't. They won't be taken. And you probably don't want me to say what happens to them, but they won't go to heaven. Only those who trust in the Lord Jesus will go to heaven. And it will happen. There will be a judgment day. And if we belong to Jesus, he's with us now, and we will be with him in eternity. Isn't that lovely? And that's the nice bit about the Bible. It's got some lovely stories. Read the book of Daniel. Chapter 3, the image and the fiery furnace. Chapter 5, fingers writing on the wall. Many, many. Your kingdom is finished. Your days are numbered. Tekel, you're being weighed in the balances and found wanting. And he died. Parsin, your kingdom will be divided and split between the Medes and Persians. So Darius the Mede took the throne. And then Darius, chapter 6, Daniel in the lion's den. And all the time, God is winning the victory. Isn't that? And you'll find it throughout the Bible. God is winning. God is working out his purposes. Well, I just think that's rather nice. Anyway, I was a bishop in Rwanda, retired 18 years ago because I'm very old now, and I built a cathedral because a bishop needs a cathedral. It wasn't big enough, so my successors built a much bigger one. It holds 1,800 people, and we do our very best to help the bishop out there to produce income by income-generating projects so that they can be self-supporting and not need to hold their hands out to people in the West. So on the table at the back, you'll find a lot of craft that I brought from Rwanda. You'll also find the best elderflower cordial in the world that my wife made. You also find the best honey in the world that I brought from Rwanda. It's from the forest. And that's all for sale, and that'll help us with the project. The current project it'll go to is a smart classroom, 50 computers, right up to date, so the people in our schools learn computers from the start. And God has blessed the work. And I thank you, because there are people here who've been praying for us. I know a lot of you have been praying for Jill, who's got that cancer. And I know you've been praying for our work, and I thank you. May God bless you. I think you've got a lovely vicar and a lot of good staff and a lot of lay people doing good work. And we'll pray that God will bless your ministry in this church, to reach out to the people in Tunbridge and the area, that they come to know that Jesus is the Saviour and Jesus is with them. Now, I want to tell you one story from Rwanda, because I want to leave you with a picture of Rwanda. People know about the genocide, perhaps, but this is a different picture. In 1995, the Committee of Genocide Survivors asked me to build a school for them. A nursery school for children who are not yet seven when school starts. I was preaching in St. Matthew's Church in Cheltenham. I told the vicar, and he said, I'll give you the Christmas collections, £13,000. I took that. I used the prisoners from the prison in Chonggugu, the local prison. We paid them, and the money went into their family's account to feed them. Used the prisoners, and we built three classes of nursery. God has blessed the school. The children have grown, so we built six classes of primary. The children went on growing, so we built six classes of secondary. And quite recently, last year, the mayor of a neighbouring town called Nyamasheke, up by the Lake Kivu, said, we like St. Matthew's School. Will you bring a branch of it here to our town? So, yes, we built ECD, that's nursery, six classes of primary, six classes of secondary, and I opened it officially on the 8th of October, 2019. I cut the tape with the mayor, and it's open. And I want to show you a picture of a group of children from the original school who've grown up, as they do, and they're singing a song because the request to build a school by the Committee of Genocide Survivors was to build a school teaching in English when everyone else was teaching in French. Teach in English and a Christian teaching school. So look at this picture, if we can get it coming up on the screen, of the school called St. Matthew's School. And this is the new St. Matthew's School. That's the mayor who flashed up there. The mayor's a lady.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight, angels descending, ring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight, angels descending, ring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. Story. This is my song.
Let's have a prayer. Thank you, our Heavenly Father, for encouraging us from your word to know that you're with us always. We pray for those going through difficult times. They may be reminded of this fact and be encouraged. Grant your blessing, Lord, to these people sitting here today. May go out and be a blessing to their neighbors. And so that in this place, the name of Jesus will ring out beyond these buildings. We pray it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Thank you, Felicity.